And hopefully our conversation will live up to the hype.
Hey guys, it's Tashira Simmons. Welcome to another amazing week of Freedom of Truth. So I'm doing a little something different this week. We will be recording live from the YWCA. I can't wait till you hear my amazing testimony. Well, at least a little part of it. See you soon.
So Mitzi reached out to me. Like she said, I'm a motivational, inspirational speaker. I go all over, and I basically... Well, let me just give you a little... I don't know how much... I kind of just was thrown in. I just literally just took my gum out. I just came upstairs, parked, ran here. So how much do I go in? I want to know, do I go into it? Or I just introduce myself. Mitzi, do I... Oh, so you want me to do all of that now?
We can introduce them, and they can go into them, and then we can go back.
Okay. So, my name is Tashira Simmons. How I was recognized was because I was the wife of DMX for 25 years. I am a Yonkers native. Well, I was born in Manhattan. When I was born, I moved here when I was 5, so Yonkers is all I've ever known, you know, before everything took off. Before I go into the whole, you know, fame and fortune, you know, with my ex-husband, my foundation was started with my dad and my mom. I'm the oldest of 7 children. A lot of people in the community may know my dad. They call him Brother John.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, perfect. So we are all family here. He is my heart and soul, just so you guys know. But yes, I am. I'm the oldest of his 7 children. So a lot of you may probably already know, you know, what happened. But I'm just going to kind of give you guys who don't. My dad and my mom, you know, I was raised Muslim. They were very guarded, you know. They made their financial income selling incense and oils and accessories. You know, that was what they did to bring money into the home. At some point, my mom is born, raised Panamanian, very passive woman, very beautiful, good woman, but just really not grounded in the things that we're used to. And when I say that, because in Panama, she was taught very different than I was. She was taught to be very submissive to their husband, basically don't have a voice, you know, whatever says go. And now as a grown woman, when I look back, I realize that the culture was very different. Not saying that we're all like, but, you know, just the way she handled things as a woman was very definitely different, you know, for me to look up to my mom and, you know, just watch how she did things. So my dad, you know, he was born and raised in Brooklyn, Red Hook Projects, and he was really fast talking, you know, to be honest with you, very manipulating as a young man growing up. So he's meeting this, you know, young Panamanian woman that's very submissive and basically whatever he says, go, praising him like a king, but lost her voice. She didn't have that tough skin to deal with that kind of man. And she literally, one day, she got up and... She told me, she was a seamstress. I was 14 at the time. The youngest was one. And she said, Tashira, I remember I was preparing for a block party in Slow Bombs. And I needed my pants hemmed. So she said, I'm going to the store. And I'll be right back. And I'll take care of it for you. That turned into 2 hours, 3 hours. I had to go and wear something else to not coming home. the next day, I remember that night waiting for her up. I told my dad, Ma didn't come home. And he said, oh, she probably out there doing, I smelled a little liquor on his breath. You know, he's a whole nother man back then. This is over, I was 14 years old, I'm 46 now. So that was like a good 30 something years ago, he didn't think nothing of it. But when I woke up, I remember hearing the kids crying and, just sounding like a happy home that we had, a lot, not crying, but like, playing, some crying because it's six of them. But when I got up and actually went, because we had a railroad home, there was a whole bunch of his friends, and I seen the nervousness on my dad's face, and I asked him what was going on, and he said, just go fix the kids some food. But I felt the energy shift in the home. So my mom never came back. She basically abandoned her seven children. I literally became, and I still remember to this day, like it was yesterday, I was just getting my first job at Burger King. Because they were really strict, so, they allowed me to work, and I was so excited about having my own money and just getting ready to go into my teenage years, and I literally turned into, I went from a young girl to a grown woman overnight, because everything that my mother and my dad taught me, I literally had to bring alive and become that mother figure for a 14-year-old girl. And to look back on that now, I don't know how I did it, to be honest with you. It was only by the grace of God, because there's so many things out there that the devil was, not introducing to me, but sending my way as a 14-year-old, to drugs, prostitution. I mean, we'd have no money. I'm only 14 years old. My dad wasn't coming home anymore. There's these kids crying. They need to eat. It was summertime. School came around. Now I'm fixing breakfasts. I'm going to school. I'm pretending like everything's okay. Meanwhile, I'm watching the clock. I lost my concentration. I couldn't even think, because every day, time after time, I was hoping when I got home that my mother would be there and everything would go back to the same. And that just wasn't happening. And I noticed my dad started deteriorating. And when I say that, because he went from my best friend and teaching me all the tools that I needed in life to, you're a bitch. I'm so sorry. Is it okay if I be raw like that? I'm sorry. I think I'm talking to one of my friends now. I'm sorry. I get like that. I'm sorry. But, he was calling me out my name. I'm telling the truth. He started being very verbally, emotionally, and mentally abusive. Started telling me that I'm going to be nothing in life. I'm going to be babies in welfare. And just really, really dark. It was a really, really dark time. And for some reason, I didn't get lost in that darkness.
Amen.
And that's something to praise, because it's happening now, today, every day. And I didn't know at the time that my dad had turned to drugs, because I'm 14 years old. What do I even know about drugs? I'm just surviving right now. I'm just doing what I've learned from my mother and father. Never once even thinking about abandoning them. And they were driving me crazy. I'm only 14 years old. So God has, that saying that he will never give you too much that you can bear. At the time, I didn't know the word. But the more I go on my journey in life, I'm starting to see all these things that he's equipped me with. And I didn't even know that I had inside of me. But all I wanted to always do was do the right thing. And I felt, for some reason, a role model. Because I have a 15-year-old that I can't even imagine him holding it down for my children. So I've realized that I had this. I held on to a supernatural strength. I tapped into that some way, and I kept going. So now I'm finding out my dad is on drugs. I'm finding out, and at the time, I'm not even thinking. I don't even know what the drug is. I don't even realize, the effects that the drug can do and how this is why he's become this angry person. This is why he's saying the things that he's saying. All I know is that he's calling me out my name. He's making me feel like a piece of crap. And what did I do? So this is wearing on my spirit. And I'm not even knowing this as a 14-year-old girl. So, you know, moving forward, this is, you can only imagine, this is just, the house is just chaotic. Everything's falling apart. We barely have anything to wear. We're constantly pretending like everything's okay because, you know, what else are we supposed to do? We're just in survival mode. But it's just so amazing how God works, because someone got with them. My mom wasn't around because of how we were looking, and you know, because we were just run down, everything. And they called CPS. And any other morning, I mean, if we were dressed, we never had usually food in the refrigerator. But this particular morning, I remember getting my paycheck, $60 from Burger King, went and bought some milk, some eggs, some stuff, and we get a knock at the door an hour after that. And it was someone that called CPS. They came in. We're all in our night clothes, so you couldn't tell if we, you know, if we were not being, you know, taken care of right. And the woman happened to know my father, and she said, "Oh, I got this call." And I said, "Wait, hold up. This is Brother John. I know Brother John. No, he's a good dad. He's always there. You know, he takes care of his kids. His wife is nice, this and that." So he played it off. Like, yeah, she's not here right now, but I don't know what they're talking about. Everything's fine. Look in the refrigerator. This thing's there. And I remember being so afraid, because I knew that, I've heard stories, had they have known the conditions that we were living in, they would have split us apart. And that's something I did not want to happen, because I've obviously taken on the mother role, not even realizing it. So, you know, I always go back to those times, and I praise God even now today. So moving forward, I meet my ex-husband, which we met actually when we were 11, but I met him when we were 18 again. And to be honest, normally I don't say this, but now, because I've grown so much and I've learned, two dysfunctional people came together. He came from a very dysfunctional background himself. We both were fighting demons. We both were looking for love. You know, we both didn't know what real love was like. You know what I'm saying? Didn't know how to even, all we knew was we both had the same kind of backgrounds, being abandoned, being verbally and mentally, emotionally abused, and feeling alone. And we came together. We had this amazing relationship. He had a whole bunch of dreams and aspirations. So did I. But unlike him, regardless of what people said about him, he always believed that there was more for him. But because of all the abuse that I had dealt with, as far as from my dad, you know, just telling me that I was never worth nothing, I always had this insecurity. I didn't know that, though, at the time. But as time went on, I started realizing that. But, you know, I watched someone that was so dysfunctional had a drive that was so incredible that it's like he brought his dreams to life. Literally, in front of me, he did. Not it's like. He brought his dreams to life. He hustled. He worked hard. And and I say to this day, he's one of my biggest inspirations, because he did that. He escaped. He escaped a situation that people thought he would never escape, and he made something of himself. But who knows that when you don't know who you are, the devil can always mess with you. The enemy can always pick at you. So I'm saying that to say, while we're going on this journey, we become millionaires overnight. He becomes discovered. I mean, all our dreams came true. We were so broke to the point where, you know, I know before I met him, I was so used to having, you know, no soles to my shoes that, you know, even to this day, sometimes when I walk on the ground, I look, because I didn't want to step on any glass or rocks. So we came from poverty. I mean, just having nothing. But what's really important, what I've learned in life, was love and family. So when he became famous and we became millionaires overnight, which we always prayed for, which a whole bunch of us always pray for because we think that money is going to be the solution to everything, we had a very rude awakening. Very rude. In the industry, it's the devil's playground. That's facts. I have been in it for over 20 years. It is the devil's playground. Be careful what you ask for. And if you're not covered and you don't know the word and you're not grounded, you can get sucked up. And you can even know the word. But if you go in thinking it's sweet and you're not covered and you're not walking right and you're dibbling, dabbling in the devil's stuff, he gonna put a blindfold right over you and suck you right in. So I'm watching my best friend gain the world but lose his soul at the same time, literally. So as women, we're nurturers. We always want the best. We do all that we can do for the ones that we love. So this is what I was doing. I was being that supportive wife. I was doing all that I can to make sure that his career takes off and that he be the best that he could be. But what's happening to me? I lost my identity. I lost who I was as a person. I didn't even know who I was. First of all, I was abandoned as a child. I took on a responsibility that was insane. I don't even know how I did it at the age of 14. So then I lost my childhood. There's things, there's chapters that we all need as human beings that we need to go through to make us who we are as people. And if we don't attack those chapters right, we could get lost. So, but we don't all know that. We don't know that. At the end of the day, we're all surviving, you know, and we're just doing what we were taught, what we think is best. So, when I saw my best friend losing his soul, and I became the enemy. Because one thing about that devil's playground, like I told you, when you got all that money and success, no one's telling you no. No one's telling you you're doing wrong. Nobody's telling you that you don't stink. Why? Because they want to keep getting that money. They want to keep their positions. They don't care about you no more. And because his broken foundation, he thought they just was all loving him. He was just like, wow, they love me. They care about me. They're just telling me the truth. And I was like, no, they're not. That was never you. You would never do that. Can't you see? But I realized that you could really be blind with your eyes open. Who know that's the truth? Okay? And the whole time I was going through this journey, you best believe I was picking up learning lessons as I went. Because I wouldn't be here today had I not. So I'm watching all this go on, but how do you think I'm feeling? Horrible. Helpless. But you know what the big problem was in this all? Who knows that we serve a jealous God? So while I'm worshiping and praising this human being with this good heart, because that's all I was seeing, all these spirits was attacking him and using him as a toy. We fight not against flesh and blood, but spirits. But I didn't know that. So I'm still looking at my ex-husband like the person that I fell in love with. Meanwhile, he ain't even him anymore. He done been taken over. So I didn't know what to do. I can't leave. We have 4 children now. I never got a chance to do anything for myself. Go back to school because I dropped out at the 11th grade. I never did anything. for myself. Every time I tried to do something or come up with some clothing line or whatever, he would always say, "You're managing my life. You're the one staying on all the people running our companies. You don't need to do anything for yourself. Don't ever do that. Don't ever, ever, no matter how much money, no matter how supportive your man or your husband is, always have something for yourself. It has nothing to do with selfishness. It's just about taking care of you. Because guess what? How are you going to be good for your companion if you don't have nothing going on for yourself? So I'm going forward, but you know, I'm backward going forward. But at the end of the day, I'm just trying to let you see, you know, as I go on this journey, the things that I was picking up. So we serve a jealous God. So what happened was God snatched that. That's the way I look at it. He snatched it out. I used to always tell him, I used to say, yeah, God, I'm going to spend time with you. Soon as I finished with this studio, oh, God, I'm going to spend time with you after I do that. I mean, I still remember to this day how many times I used to say, I'm going to spend time with you, God. Yet he was my God. My ex-husband was my God. So, and it just continued to get worse. I wasn't praying. I didn't know anything about the word. I wasn't protecting myself. I wasn't encouraged. I wasn't doing anything. I was just there. So how am I even being of help if I'm just there and I'm just watching my best friend just lose herself? So, like I said, we serve a jealous God. That was snatched out of my, that was just, I finally, actually, I'm going to tell you, because this is such a long story and I'm trying to make it as short as I can, but it got so horrible, and I started realizing that a lot of the things that my ex-husband was doing was like my father, the behaviors. He started being very verbally abusive, very mentally abusive, very emotionally abusive. And because I wasn't actually getting punched on, I didn't know that that was abuse. So I just took it. But it was tearing down my soul. And I was wondering why I couldn't move forward. It was because the person that I loved more than anything in this world was constantly killing me. The worst way possible. Because at the end of the day, if I was actually getting physically abused, which is not cool either, but they heal. But see, I've already been getting abused by my dad at 14. Then my ex-husband, now my husband at the time, and I'm thinking that everything's okay. This is what I'm supposed to deal with. I'm a wife, for better or for worse. He's sick. He's on drugs, making every excuse in the world. What will happen to the empire if I walk away? This is what I'm supposed to do, right, God? This is my vow I took. I didn't love myself enough to be able to see those things, because when you don't know who you are, how are you supposed to even know that that's something that you're supposed to do? So what gave me the strength is, after a house that was just ridiculous. We had 24-hour nannies. It was like walking on eggshells. It's a big house. We got all these cars outside. Everything's looking good from the outside. But guess what? It's all a big mask. It was a bunch of freaking dysfunction going on, unhappiness, a lot of smiling when the cameras is shooting us, but a lot of crying as soon as the doors closed. Okay, that's what was going on. So one day when he had a big fit, throwing everything all over the place, making walls in the wall, because I just kind of lightly said something that I didn't like how he was going about something, lost it. Ran out the house, F U B, I don't have to deal with this. Just retardedness. I'm just made up a word. I went on the other side of the house, and my older son, who at the time was only 14, and he was lifting weights, doing push-ups, and, you know, in my naive mind, I thought, you know, he didn't hear everything going on. We were on the other side of the house. We were up, you know, with the doors closed. And I said, hey, son. Smiling with that mask on, you know, acting like nothing's going on. My norm. I said, hey, son, how you doing? You working out, getting it together, you know, whatever. And he looked at me with this face that I will never forget, his eyes. And he said, no, I'm getting my weight up so I can kill my father the next time I hear him talk to you like that. And in that moment, I didn't care nothing about myself. Didn't even see was something wrong with how I was being treated, how I was being talked to. But the love for my child gave me a whole nother strength. And it was that day that I said, that's it. He came back. I told him, you gotta go. Cursed him out like I never ever did before. He looked at me and said, you're crazy, B. Took his book bag and left. And after that day, this was 9 years ago, he kept trying to come back. He kept calling, this is how he did. Dog me out, call me all kind of names, and then the next day, hey, how you doing? You need anything from the store? And I was like, yeah. Bruised up all inside, hurt. This is the roller coaster that I was used to. It was fine. It was okay. This is what I was used to. So I told him, no, you can't come back here. I was dead serious. I have an order of protection, which I was lying. I was scared to death. But I just knew that he could never come back again in our lives. Because at the end of the day, my biggest responsibility is to make sure that I'm a role model for my children and break that generational curse. And I'm telling you, I'm here today to tell you that I have done that. My children are, words can't even describe how they are because of the sacrifice that I made. And within that, I started to learn who I was. I started to take steps in loving myself. And when I tell you, that's a journey in itself. It took me, and I'm still learning myself, but it took me a good 8 years having to spend time with myself. I had to learn who I was. I didn't jump right into another relationship. I'm still not in another relationship because at the end of the day, what kind of relationship would that look like when I don't even know who I am? So I'm going to let another man come into my life and I have nothing to offer. I don't have anything to offer. Guess what? I didn't even know what I really like to eat because he ordered for me. We like the same things. I don't even know what kind of TV show I really, really like that much because I watched what he liked to watch. I lost my identity. I didn't know who I was. And I'm telling you right now, it was the most hurtful feeling, the most hardest thing, the most uncomfortable place I've ever found myself. But you know what? I said, I'm worth it. We are here for a brief moment. We lucky if we get 100 years on this planet. You telling me that I'm not worth trying to figure out already, and I wouldn't even say I lost 25 years because it was the best 25 years of my life. Because had I not went through those things, I wouldn't have been able to be strong enough and courageous enough to get into that uncomfortable place to find out who is Tashira. Who are you? You was the strong woman that stood behind DMX, yes. But that's it. Who are you? What can you bring to the world? What can you contribute? What has God called you to do? What is your purpose? I know that it says in the Bible that we're all uniquely made, because at the end of the day, I've learned that the Bible is nothing but a manual for life. It's our life manual. It's me and you in our stories, in a book trying to warn the people that's coming after how to live, what's mistakes not to make. But everybody try to pull the Bible out, you know, make it like this whole big religious thing. And at the end of the day, it's just a manual to life. It's a guide. Because when we don't have that, how are we supposed to know? I mean, we learn from each other. That's why I'm here. I'm sharing my story. So that way, I'm in hopes that someone will learn. And it doesn't matter how old you are. I've learned that too. I'm still learning from 17-year-olds. I'm still learning from my daughter at 13. Because I was never able to get my childhood. So I'm learning through each and one of my kids. And then I meet people that are older than me and I'm learning through them too. That's how I got here today. I used to think I was stupid. I used to think I was worthless. I thought that because of my lack of education, I just thought that, who am I to be able to speak in front of a whole bunch of people with PhDs, master's degrees? I don't have none of that. But guess what I do have a PhD in? Life. A lot of things that they don't haven't even experienced. Because a lot of them, they got silver spoons in their mouth. They ain't even dealt with half of the things that I've dealt with. And everyday life is a struggle for me. Trust me when I tell you. And the way that I deal with it is incredible. The things that you would think I would lose my mind off of, I say, well, must be a purpose in that. God obviously did that for a reason because, oh, I know, trust me. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart because at the end of the day, every season is temporary. It's temporary. If you're going through something right now that you think you're not going to make out of there in one piece, when I tell you, the devil is a liar. Because I've made it through so many seasons with my mind, no drugs, just me. Holding on to God's cape. Holding on for dear life. Like, God, please help me. Speak to me, Father. What do you want me to do? Help me find me. I know it says, and I don't even know the Bible all that well. I'm just now starting to study it. But I've been picking up scriptures when it says we all are uniquely made. All of us. But the problem I'm finding is, everyone is chasing after other people's stuff. And at the end of the day, we've all been equipped with something special. So special that we can't copy. Because he's made us all differently. But if we don't go out there and step out of this, our comfort zone that we're used to, and just say, you know what? This doesn't feel good, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. That's where all the gifts are. That's when you start to be able to find yourself in that uncomfortable place. Because in that uncomfortable place is where you start saying, I didn't think I could ever do that. Or that's where you say, stuff start to come to you. Because when you take that step, that's where it all is. And I've learned that because I was, trust me, this is not a year or two. This is me 10 years now, today, constantly feeling comfortable, don't want to move, going through a depression. No, the enemy telling me I'm stupid, I'm this, you can't do that. When I get so tired of being sick and tired that I say, you know what, you're lying, I'm going to do that. And as soon as I do it, it's like all these doors just start opening. It's to the point where it's scary. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I thank God that I didn't, first of all, abandon my children. That's number one. And if anyone has done that, no judgment. But at the end of the day, I thank God that I didn't. Because what I've learned as I grew and wanted to know about more about my history, my mother's mother left her in Panama with her father. Then my mother comes to America, you know, New York, and she leaves her children. So now the same thing happens to me. So I made the right choice. And I stay, it could have been easy for me to go and be with men and, you know, and just act like that. I don't have these four children. Oh, it's so easy to say, it's so messed up. You know, my husband left me. Because I just totally left this part out. When I finally took a stand, he realized he couldn't come back. He cut me off of money. And I said, wait, hold up. I have four kids. And I knew I was nothing but a demon. And he said, well, you know, you don't want me to come home, so I want to see how you're going to live with no money. But guess what? Because of what I've already experienced with my mom, I've learned how to save. So I had a whole nother bank account in a whole nother bank saving up money for me and him on our rainy day. And I wind up going to that bank when I saw he was serious. The accountant called me crying saying, I'm so sorry. He told me to cut you off all accounts. I went to the other bank. And I kid you not, the teller said, we went, it was like a safety deposit box. She said, we're going to need a money machine because you have two big things. It was $1,000,000.2 in those accounts. My rainy day money. So you never know why God is telling you to do stuff. Listen to that spirit. We all have it. Our gut. Something just always told me, do this, do that. And you got to follow it. Follow your first mind. And the first mind is always the one that makes you come out your comfort zone. So you don't ever, you're like, oh, who is that? No, I used to say, that first mind used to say, put money up, Tashira. And then I used to say, well, why? I have accounts. I have, you know, I'm access to all the accounts. The first mind kept saying, put money up, Tashira. Until one day I said, you know what? Let me just put money up. Never to know that this was what was going to happen, and I was ready for it. So now, guys, I'm taking my testimony and what I've learned in this journey, because I truly believe sharing is caring, because at the end of the day, we are no better than each other. We are all the same people. Trying to figure this thing called life out. We make mistakes, we slip, we fall. I always say, this is a thing that I say success is not an elevator, it's a staircase. What happens when you're walking up a spiral staircase? You slip, you fall, you hurt your knee, you fall on your butt. But we still get up and we keep on moving. So at the end of the day, a lot of times people see me and they think, oh, by the grace of God, I still live in a house. The sheriff's done came four times in this 8 years saying that 72-hour notices. Then they recognize me and they say, oh, call this person. Stopped it. Then I have no money to pay the attorney, because then after a while, okay, $1,000,000 only lasts for 5 years, because now I'm living in la-la land because I don't want to realize that I'm going through stuff. So that ran out after 5 years. I think that was a good long time for $1,000,000. But so I'm going to court now. And I don't have any money to pay an attorney, but I ain't running away from my problems. I go show up and say, well, I don't have an attorney. I don't have no money, but I want to know what's going on. I'm here to represent myself. The judge said, okay, that was bold. The other side, mind you, they trying to take my house because of they trying to sue my ex-husband, and he don't even live there. The judge said, listen, this woman has four children. She obviously would not come here and embarrass herself if she had any money. So, you know what? Court adjourned to 9 months. I got 9 more months, God. What you gonna do, God? And it's just like that. You know what I'm saying? Pull the positivity. It's always something positive in everything. Life is what we make it, and that's what I've learned. If you want to be doom and gloom and be a pity party every day for yourself, for one, it weighs down your spirit. It makes you sick. Your organs, your face, your everything. It just tears you apart. You could let people call you crazy. I'll never forget it when I was just floating and everything was falling apart. My sisters called my pastor and said, my sister's really, she's literally losing her mind. The sheriffs came the other day. And she said that everything gonna be all right. It ain't over till it's over. So we think that she's really losing her mind, and we need you to pray for her. And I'll never forget it. My pastor, which is Pastor Hazel, which I know you guys probably know from Yonkers, another Native Yonkers person. She said, oh no, she ain't losing her mind. She has a peace that surpasses all human understanding. And I never understood that until she said it. And she said, someone in the flesh will never understand the peace that you have right now. You stay in your spirit because that's the only thing that's going to keep you going. And I've learned that and I've took that with me and I've tried. Trust me. I go all over now and Mitzi already knows I'll do it for free if I have to. If I have to travel far, I always ask people to pay the flights or whatever. But a lot of times I'm like, just pay for my transportation and I'm there. Because at the end of the day, people need to hear it from someone who's really been through it. And it's not a shame to talk about it. I'm still learning as I go. And I'm so happy to be able to share to all nationalities, all ethnicities. I spoke to a group of women that was all white. And they got it. They were crying. They felt it. And why? And they were privileged because it was at a college. And I said to them, even though you may have never been through what I've been through, let me tell you how it feels. You ever had somebody that was totally healthy in your family that you loved to death, and then the next day they got a tumor and they tell you that they're in fourth stage cancer? How'd that feel? Helpless. Out of your control. That's how I've lived my life until I found God. And they said, we can relate to that. And one of them said, you know what? My dad actually, they found a tumor on his brain. And this is why I did this women empowerment. And this is why I want to bring you here, because I just want you to bring some inspiration. So at the end of the day, I felt like that was nothing but the Holy Spirit. And I like to tell people all the time, I'm not religious. It just comes with too many, too many rules.
And chapters.
Yeah, just too much. Yeah, too much. I'm deeply spiritual, and I'm in tune with my spirit at the end of the day. We're all on a planet, right? In the middle of a universe. How does not people believe that there's something bigger than us? You know what I'm saying? So I just hope that I've came here and I inspired you guys, and that you guys are able to take something to think about, because I'm very passionate about everything I said right now. And I put some sheets together that way you guys could kind of, I wanted to get up close and personal. You know, I wanted to be able to sit and kind of, you know, give your thoughts about some of the stuff on who you think you are, or what do I want in life, or what am I doing to get it? Who am I surrounding myself with? That's very key. Who you surround yourself with is so important, because at the end of the day, we're all energies, whether we want to believe it or not, and people could have the wrong energy. They could have no faith. They could just, but they smiling. But we can pick up that energy. You could be saying, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. And you feel it in your heart and soul. But then that next person is like, oh, really? Well, you could try it. That is very critical. Because at the end of the day, unfortunately, we are human beings that we like to hear what other people say, you know, because we're so excited. So if it's the wrong person that's around you, it could prolong. Because at the end of the day, what God has for you, He has for you. But it could prolong the process. So at the end of the day, who are you surrounding yourself with? What are you telling yourself? How will I motivate myself? How much time will you give yourself? That's very important. I know time management is hard, but at the end of the day, how much time are you willing to give yourself? Because you're worth it. We're all trying to do this thing called life. Like I said, we're trying to get to the next level, because until we die, we constantly are evolving. We're constantly evolving. And you know, there was a time when I was very ignorant to that. But I've learned that you never stop evolving until you die. So then I wrote a little note at the bottom that said, life is all about seasons. What season are you in? What do you spend a lot of time thinking about is important? In order to grow and get to the next level, we must be willing to expand our mindset. Very important. I choose to use my story and not let it use me. There was a time. Yeah, can we? Because yes, can we please say it together? We choose to use our stories and not let our stories use us.
We choose to use our stories and not let our stories use us.
Who can relate to that? Because at the end of the day, I was very ashamed of my story. There was a time. But then I said, you know what? I'll be damned if I continue to live life ashamed of what something that can become so beautiful. And this is what I'm doing right here today. And you know what freedom that is in that? There's so much freedom in telling the truth. It's so much freedom in that. It's like a burden lifted. At the end of the day, we don't have nothing to be ashamed of. We don't ask for the things that happen to us in life. It just happens. It's called life. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to let it tear us down and wear and tear us? Or are we going to use it? Exactly. And ride that wave. You talking right, sis. So, and I said, use your wounds that you pick up along the way as your weapons. That's something to really think about. I'm using all my wounds as my weapons. That's what healed my wounds up. And I turned it into weapons. And I'm constantly, I mean, I've met so many men and women. Men needed to. Men really need it. I mean, I get so many men, like the jails. I mean, that's just like, wow. So, you know, definitely not trying to exclude the men. The men are amazing. And to this day, I really feel sorry for my ex-husband because, you know, I tried my best. But I love myself more. I'm nothing for him without myself. And it was a huge decision that I had to make. It wasn't easy. It took me a very long time to even want to ask for a divorce. Literally, we weren't together for at least 9 years, and then I finally decided to ask for a divorce after 7 years. That's how afraid I was. That's how much I felt like I gave up. How does that make sense? I felt like I gave up. But, you know, once you get to know yourself, the more you start to love yourself, you will never settle for less. You trust God for more. Because I'm telling you, there is more. It's up to you to sit in your misery. And like I said, let it just use you up. Or walk away from it and use it to help other people. Use your shame and help other people. Because it's really not shameful. Because what I've learned is, the more I started talking, we all was dealing with the same stuff. Because God literally pushed me out there because I was so broke that when people were saying that you would be great to speak at my event, I was like, me? Why? She was like, you have an amazing story. She was like, we'll pay you $1,000. I'm like, $1,000? I could do that. Lord, okay, God, help me out here. Girl, I went up there. I mean, I guess like I said, PhD, all these degrees. And I said, Lord, here goes stupid me. I don't know what I'm talking about. But when I tell you I let the Holy Spirit use me, and I just went out there and flied, and all I did was tell my story, the truth, which was the truth. I ain't sugarcoated. I just told the truth. And I was real. And I was very true. And they felt it. And you know what? And I'm not telling you no lie. All the people that was there, well-renowned people, Everybody was coming up to me after crying. You know what you did for me today? I mean, it was amazing. And it was, I knew that that was nothing but God trying to show me, no, daughter, I'll take the weakest and brokest to shine for me, to change people. Because at the end of the day, who can relate to somebody that ain't really been through nothing?
You're never alone.
So right now, I never thought I'd see myself here today talking in front of. And you know, I was a little intimidated when I see my older women here, because I said they probably like, hold up, honey. Wait, we know what you're talking about. But so y'all know I'm talking the truth, right? See, and that's what, good, I'm sorry. Well, that's what made me say, you know, we can all learn from each other no matter what age, because, you know, I've learned from my children. Yep. Yes, always. And that's another thing I've learned. And a lot of times I couldn't understand if they were so worse off than me, how could they even relate? But they could. You know what I mean? They could. And it's just an amazing journey that I'm on right now. And I always glorify God, because at the end of the day, I know who did it for me. I know. And I went somewhere and I spoke and he told me, there's a lot of different religions in here, so don't talk about God. Because we know you're a woman of faith and all this stuff. And I had to, that was the most intimidating, challenging speak I've ever had. But I was able to switch it up. And I was the one when I told them, this is how it feels.
Am I you? 100%.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because you know what? I'm courageous and I don't care. Because at the end of the day, how am I going to help somebody being afraid? I can't. So, thank you. And I mean, if you guys, I came a long way. But with hard, and I know you guys can relate. And that's why I love being real. You know what I'm saying? Because we can all relate. We're all women. We're all human beings. And like I said, the men. Yep.
We learn.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. We learn.
We're going to go through that trail again.
That's right. Exactly. And it's worth it. It really was. It's up to you. So I don't know if you guys are interested in maybe kind of, you know, filling in those blanks. Because I mean, I'm always constantly learning. So I would learn from someone else. I know you said we'd take a break and come back. But in the break, if y'all want to kind of, some of them, one of them, just kind of tell me where they are.
So, yeah, you guys, you know, we have a few minutes. So if you want to, take, 5 minutes and, you know, fill in the questions that we have. There's some blanks there. Just, you know, even if you answer, you don't answer all the questions. Answer one, something that might, you
stand
know, motivate
out, right?
You. Yeah. So I just wanted to show you. I'm not sure if you guys completed your vision boards. If you didn't fully complete them, that's fine. I just wanted to show mine, my vision board I just did really quick. It's very small, it's not a lot, but this is like my self-awareness vision board. If you like look at some of the stuff I put, just like things to inspire me. Like, so I put gentle is the new strong. For the people, wait, for the first time, people have looked at me like I'm not insane. And then I said, it's okay because I'm Gucci. Like, Gucci is like I'm good, like it's a little slang, right? So I just found that out and cut that out. I put my horoscope there, Virgo, because I love my sign. I love Beyonce.
Girl, too.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
I put our heavy hitter, strength and color, kind of represents me. And then I crossed out, the discomfort gradually increases until tears stream down my face. Because I'm a person that does a lot. I'm always moving around. But, you know, I have life. You know, I deal with life, too. And sometimes I have moments where it builds up, you know, and nobody kind of sees it. So, like, I kind of, this represents, like, self-awareness for me. And then I have the stacks of money here because I want to take care of my family one day. I want to spend time with them while we're still on this earth. So, you know, this is what, you know, kind of motivated me. If you guys want to, like, you know, very check it out if you want to show it. If you didn't complete your vision boards, I mean, we could still do a couple of things, but that's for you. Like, that's your journey. You can feel free to take some magazines, work on that. You know what I mean? It's going to take time. We may not have completed everything, but it's a start, right? Mm-hmm. You feel a little inspired a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Can I just wanted to add something before I close. My dad, once that happened, when me and my ex separated, my dad came up to my house spontaneously and asked me if I needed any help, and he was still messing up. So I resented him a lot, but because I'm respectful, you know, I let him come in, and he told me one day, he said, you know, I would never want you to go through what I went through, and he got clean. He's been clean for 7 years now, and I would not be able to run my home without my father. He's yes. been living with me for 8 years.
So shout out to the yes. parents, the grandmas, grandpas, yeah. everybody.
He's turned his life around. And me as a parent now, he just did the best that he could. And he ran to drugs. And, you know, listen, that was, you know, I can't, I don't. Exactly. I can't, you know, but at the end of the day, he did the right thing. He came. He's created that balance in my home because the dad, you know, a man and a woman role model. And he's an amazing role model. He has a lot of wisdom. He's always talking to my children, and he's really a blessing. Yes, yes, he's amazing. So I had to add that. But you know, I had to tell the truth in our journey that we've been through, and it makes it so much better because I know anyone can change. By watching my father, anyone can change. He's an amazing man. And he's really, he's came to me and said, daughter, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, because you know? They deal with guilt too.
Yeah.
Homes,
you yeah. Such a blessing to me.
That's a gift.
That was a gift to God. Imagine I would have shunned that because of me being so bitter and resenting him. You know what I mean? So it's always good just to be good, you know, at the end of the day.
23 years on the road. 17 years clean.
Who's that?
My son.
Aww. I'll give you a hug. I know what that is.
I know
that.
I can't
explain.
I know that's no joke.
That drug is no joke.
So I feel like we need a moment. I almost forgot. My good friend is here. She's going to do...
I didn't send it. I won't get it.
Huh? Miss Lavelle? Miss Lavelle? Don't kid me. Right now. So as I mentioned, we just had a little moment.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Miss Lavelle, you leave me alone. Look. My good friend, Chandel, is here. She's actually the founder of Evolving Beauties Club. It's a teen girl leadership, something like we have here at the Pearl Program. So she runs that out of the Bronx?
Yes.
Okay, the Bronx, New York. So she's going to do a light meditation. Is it a certain name for this meditation? Or
guided meditation.
Guided meditation. So you can stay where you are.
So it's a wrap. Thank you for joining me at Freedom of Truth. It has been amazing talking to these amazing souls. God bless you, everybody, and continue to listen to Freedom of Truth as I bring the truth. God bless.